Christmas time. And it's so fun to watch children as they sort of tear into their gifts. There's little concern for the bow, for the wrapping paper, for the ribbons, or any of those kind of things. The most important thing is how quickly the gift can be extracted. Maybe your children or grandchildren have been telling you for weeks what they want for Christmas. I read the story of a little boy by the name of Brian who had been petitioning his parents for weeks about what he wanted for Christmas, and it was a watch. His dad, exasperated with him, finally said, "Brian, if you mention that watch one more time, you're not going to get it. Quit bugging us." One evening, Brian's parents asked him if he would lead in prayer before dinner. Brian said, "I'd like to quote a scripture verse before I pray, the very words of our Lord and Savior. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." For the next few moments, I want to share some thoughts with you that I've titled, Time to Open the Presents. You know, Christmas is a time of gift giving. Yet in the midst of all of our exchanging of gifts, we can sometimes miss the greatest gift of all. You know, on that very first Christmas, most missed it because they weren't looking. They were absorbed with other things. The politicians missed the first Christmas. The business community, they missed it. The innkeeper is forever cast in a very poor light because of his no vacancy sign. And the religious establishment just miles away, totally missed the first Christmas. The only people who really enjoyed that first Christmas was those that recognized God's gift, and they were looking for it. Like the simple shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And verse 15 says, "When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" You know, the shepherds found Jesus because they were looking. And later on, that we'll look at tonight, Lord willing, the wise man found him because they were looking for him as well. What are you looking for this Christmas? You know, you will find what you're looking for. But are you looking for Jesus? What should be one of the greatest opportune times of the year to be able to discover Christ and open the presence that He has provided for us has been so commercialized, so secularized, that many people, even most people, hardly give Jesus a thought. You know, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus to Martha, the story of Martha and Mary. Jesus was in the home of Lazarus, and we know the story that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was listening to what Jesus had to say, and Martha was all focused on all the preparations that needed to take place. And Martha was absolutely exasperated with her sister. And Jesus said to Martha these words, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I want to submit to you that there's really only a few things that are really critical this time of the year. We've made it about many things. We have, by and large, all become Marthas. We're all focused on getting so many things done and getting lists and gifts purchased and meeting the expectations of other people. But really, there's really only one thing that's truly necessary. You see, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every person that can only be filled by a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And like no other time, Christmas should be a time to discover that. Christmas is all about getting to know God. You know, there are many gifts God gives His children. Here are three that I don't want you to miss this Christmas. The first gift that He wants to give us is the gift of forgiveness. This is the greatest gift of all. It's the first present that needs to be opened. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, in the English Standard Version, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want you to consider with me for just a moment that word, Savior, that describes Jesus. You know, the world needs you need, and I need a Savior. It is our greatest gift. A Savior is one who saves. A Savior is one who gives us the gift of forgiveness. But it's a gift you must be willing to receive. It's a present that you must be willing to open. And first, you must recognize your need. You know, there's two things that keep people from opening the present of God's forgiveness. First, some think they are too bad. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, hey, I'm just too bad. I've done too much to really to receive God's forgiveness. And then on the flip side of that is some think they are too good. So some think they're too bad to receive God's forgiveness, and some think they're too good. I really don't need His forgiveness. A little boy wrote a letter to Santa Claus. It went this way: Dear Santa, there are three boys living in my house. Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time, David is good most of the time, and Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. You know, some people feel like they are Norman. I am good enough. I am religious enough. And the list goes on and on. The problem is, none of us are Normans. Regardless of the way people may look at us, the way that we may look at ourselves, none of us are Normans. How many of you would like to have your thoughts for this past week projected on the big screen? Maybe not even the past week, the last day, any takers? The last 24 hours, last 12 hours, perhaps just this morning? I don't think any of us would want our thoughts, our behavior to be projected before everyone else. The truth is, we all need a Savior. We all need His gift of forgiveness. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, then God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was not for any of those things. Our greatest need is for God's forgiveness. So He sent us a Savior. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If you haven't personally received the gift of forgiveness, make it the first present that you open. The second gift that I don't want you to miss this Christmas is the gift of peace. We have sung about it today. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." You know, this was the acclamation of praise from the angelic host that appeared to the shepherds in the field. Afterwards, in verse 15 of that same chapter, it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Peace on earth seems to be in very short supply. All you have to do is turn on the cable news, pick up a newspaper, see what's in the headlines, and you know, people are seeking peace everywhere. It leads to addictions, it leads to illicit relationships, it leads to the driving quest for success. But the only way to have real peace is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, real peace is knowing that no matter what happens, God will never leave me. No matter what the future holds, He is with me. Real peace is living by God's Word, the Bible. Rick Warren says there's three things that rob us of peace. There is guilt, grief, and grudges. Guilt, grief, and grudges, the three G's. The first is grief, and you may feel today as if no one understands the grief that you are going through. And as I've shared in previous messages, really like no other year, we had so many individuals in our congregation that lost a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter. And so there are many people that are really impacted this time of year by grief. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows. In other words, He understands. He is with you. Don't try to carry your grief alone. Let God help you. Let others be there for you. A great scripture to claim if you're in grief today is Psalm chapter 147, verse 3. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Let the Lord do that for you. The second thing that can keep us from receiving this wonderful gift of peace that God has for us is grudges. And believe it or not, at this time of the year, they can really surface, because sometimes you're maybe forced in together with some family members and some people that really normally you wouldn't want to necessarily be with. And I'm sure that's not true in many families here, but you know, almost every year someone will say, "Would you please pray for me, Pastor? I've got family that's coming over. I've got family that's coming in from out of town. Would you pray God will give me grace?" So the holiday season isn't always surrounded by family that everything is okay. Oftentimes there are grudges, and then there's grudges that we hold against people outside of our family. I want you to know that a grudge will rob you of your peace. You know, we feel guilty when we hurt other people, but we become resentful when other people have hurt us. And the way you respond to hurt will determine the level of peace that you have in your life. The bottom line is, you got to let go of grudges. You must let go of grudges, because the truth is, you're going to be the one most hurt by holding on to those grudges. You don't forgive for their sake. There's many people that could care less whether you ever forgive them. So you don't forgive for their sake. You forgive for your sake. Resentment does not hurt the other person. It only hurts you. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, there is one line that Jesus said. This is really the model prayer. As a matter of fact, it's a prayer that I follow almost every day. You know, I sort of model my daily devotions after the outline that is found in the Lord's Prayer. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus speaks the hardest part of the entire Lord's Prayer. And I can tell you, and I'll tell you in a moment why it's the hardest part, but let me read it to you. It says, "And forgive us our debts," and here's the hard part, "as we have forgiven our debtors." Now I can give clarification to that word's debts. You can insert the word sins. "Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." And why is that the hardest part of the entire Lord's Prayer? Because if you skip down just a few verses, verses 14 and 15, it's the only part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives some clarification to. And matter of fact, his clarification is just about as long, maybe longer than the Lord's Prayer itself. So this is what he adds, sort of Jesus' P.S. to the Lord's Prayer, and it takes you right back, it ties right back into verse 12. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." In other words, there is going to be a retention of sin. Now, as a pastor, I've been in many hospital rooms. I have seen individuals who have retained fluids in their body. It can be deadly. The same can be true if we retain sin. I'm not talking necessarily here about one's eternal state, but the retaining of sin, breaking off our intimacy with God. The best thing that you can do is let go of your grudges. You can't forgive on your own, but with Christ you can and you must. We can forfeit our peace through grief, through grudges. Well, there is one more G, and that is guilt. Guilt focuses on the past sin and failure, and guilt is a thief of peace. I love Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. We oftentimes speak of God forgiving us of our sins, but sometimes we struggle with forgiving ourselves. I've had people tell me, you know, have you asked God forgiveness? Oh, yes, I've asked God's forgiveness 1,000 times. Well, of course, really one time's all that's necessary. But oftentimes that's followed up by the words, "I cannot forgive myself." And my response has oftentimes been, does Jesus have to go to the cross again to die for your guilt? Did he not die not only for your sin, but also for your guilt? Can you not accept his forgiveness of your sin? Can he not cleanse you from your guilt? But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." See, the Lord not only wants to forgive us of our sins, He wants to heal us of the memory of sin itself. Don't let grief or guilt or grudges rob you of God's peace. A peace described by our Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul this way, in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says it's a peace that transcends. It's a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. Did you know that the Bible is Kindle's most highlighted book that they have? And guess what the most highlighted verse in the Bible is, according to Kindle? It's Philippians chapter 4 and then the previous verse. Of all the scriptures that are the most highlighted in the Bible in Kindle, it's those words, the peace that God gives, a peace that passes all human understanding. Peace is knowing that no matter what happens in my life, God is going to give me strength to handle it. What a gift. The third gift, and I don't want you to miss this one, and that is the gift of eternal life. Many of you have already received that gift. You know what it is to have the assurance that your sins are forgiven. You know what it is to have that assurance that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven. But I don't want you to miss this gift of eternal life. I've heard Christmas described as, in this way, the celebration of an invasion. The celebration of an invasion. This season is all about Jesus invading our broken world. Did you know that Jesus came into this world the same way you did, the same way I did? He came through the birth canal. He came through the birth canal. He was born of a virgin. He entered our world in that way. And last week, Pastor Oscar brought a tremendous message, I felt, about just the humanity of Jesus. You know, we oftentimes think of eternal life commencing at death. You know, when a person dies, they've entered into eternal life. But I want you to know, you entered into eternal life the very moment that you gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. At that moment, you entered eternal life began for you. When the time comes for you to die, Psalm chapter 23 describes it well. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not into death, but the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you know Christ, eternal life has already begun for you. You know, one of the facts of life is that one day, apart from the second coming of Christ, all of us are going to die. That is a fact of life. Apart from the second coming of Jesus Christ, all of us are going to die. Hebrews 9:27 says it this way, just as people are destined to die once, but after that to face the judgment. We're going to spend more time of our lives on that side of death than we're going to spend on this side of death. Think about that. This life is so incredibly short compared to all of eternity. John 10:10 says, "A thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Listen, you can only have life here to the full if you know that and have the assurance that you will one day have everlasting life with Him. It's the gift of eternal life. If you haven't opened this present, let me encourage you to do so. I had a conversation in the last probably 2 weeks. It was in the context of exercising. Some guys that I was with did not know any of them, had met one of them, and a conversation came about. Matter of fact, it took place in the hot tub at the Y. So it was after done exercising, and there was a guy a little bit younger than me, and there was a guy much older than both of us, and a conversation. And so the best kind of conversations I like are the ones where people don't know I'm a pastor. Those are the best, because once people discover you're a pastor, then many of them sort of put a false face forward. And so, when I travel on a plane, I always look forward to who I'm going to sit by. I sort of see it as an opportunity. Who's got to go to place me by? And on many occasions, when they ask me, "What do you do?" I say, "I help people." A part of what I do is I'm a counselor. And it's amazing how people open up when they think I'm a counselor, which I am. I'm not lying. But if I say, I'm a pastor, then everything changes. Well, in this conversation, the hot tub, nobody knew who I was, and it was interesting how, and I usually don't even get in the hot tub, but I decided to get in the hot tub, and I'm there, and one guy somehow brings up Jesus, a Catholic guy, brings up Jesus, and they were talking about some friend who had died and what may have happened to him. The younger guy said, hopefully he's in heaven or wherever, and it was like everything was just opening up to be able to witness. I mean, everything was opening up. And that the younger guy said, I sure hope that someday, I die, I'm going to make it. And I said, you hope? You're not sure? Well, no, I just hope so. I hope I'm good enough. I really, really hope I'm good enough. He said, but I don't know. I just don't know about that. And I said, boy, that's something I would not want to mess up on. That's all of eternity. That's all of eternity. And he said, I went to church until the kids were a little older, and now I don't go to church anymore. Kids are out of the house, don't go to church anymore. It means nothing to me. He said, those sermons, they mean nothing. Obviously, he didn't come here, but it means nothing. It means nothing to me. And I said, did you ever think about trying another church? Well, no, never did. I said, you might think about trying another church. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say to my heart, enough said. Enough said. We're witnessing people. We have to be led of the Holy Spirit. It may be that the next question is, what do you do? And then it would have all closed down. So now I'm praying for another opportunity to be able to connect with this person. But so many people all around us don't know. They don't have that assurance of eternal life. And they hope so. They think so. I want you to know on this Christmas, you can know so. And I told that guy at one point, I said, for 45 years, I've had the assurance in my heart that my sins are forgiven and that if I were to die, that I would go to heaven. And you can have that same assurance in your heart as well. You can't have that full life until you know that you have that afterlife as well. Now, I want you to know that it's not about religion, which is really man's attempt to get to God. And boy, we really mess up when it comes to religion. It's about a relationship made possible by Christ's death on the cross, which was God's way to get to us. This is what Christmas is about. It's about God's way to get to us. I would have never thought of this. I don't think anyone would have ever thought of this. Divinity becoming humanity, being born of a virgin, being born in a stable. I mean, who would have ever thought of anything like that except God Himself? When you look at the cross, it means that you matter to God. Tear into that gift. Receive that gift. Today or tomorrow, maybe in your house, the words will be spoken. Time to open the presents. When I got done telling my four grandchildren, they were the ones that were most directly in front of me, the Christmas story, I said, it's time to open the presents. And maybe that will be said in your house today or tomorrow. But don't forget, the greatest gifts are not under the tree. The greatest gifts are at the foot of the cross. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, today for your presence that is in this place. I would pray for every person here today that they would receive the gifts, Lord, that you have for them. Lord, that they would receive the wonderful gift of forgiveness. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness that is total, that it's complete. Lord, that there's nothing that you cannot forgive. There's no sin that you cannot wash away. There's no sin that's too big for you. We can receive the gift of forgiveness. I pray for every person, Lord, today to have that gift of peace. I'm aware that there are people who are going through a valley experience right now. They're facing adversity in their life. And Lord, there are others who are dealing with grief over the loss of a loved one this past year or so. Lord, comfort them with the comfort of Christ. May we know, Lord, that no matter what happens this next year, Lord, that you're with us. And Lord, that we can have your peace. Not peace that the world gives, because the world can't give any real peace at all, but the peace, Lord, that you give. And Lord, may we also receive your free gift of eternal life. Lord, help us to open those presents. Help us, Lord, to receive those gifts that are at the foot of the cross. I'm going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment as we respond to God's word on this Christmas Eve. It's a prayer of receiving Christ into your heart, into your life. Maybe you have not done that. Perhaps you have not taken that step. I want to invite you to do so at this time. It's not about becoming a member of this church. It's not about believing everything necessarily that we believe. It's about entering into a personal relationship with Christ. And I want to invite you to do that. We're all going to pray, but perhaps you never have taken that step. Join with us. Join with us as we pray together. Lord, I hear and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness, and I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.